I guess we can start off this way. Because Eric has not watched any current product of the WWE, our platform is free, Jeremy, free of any content that we feel like talking about.
Wow, what a shock. Eric's not watching wrestling anymore. I can't imagine why.
Yeah.
There was nothing for so long to latch onto. Like, legitimately, there was nothing to watch. You know? Like, WWE was the shits. And if we didn't have this, I mean, I think even the both of us were like, yeah, we'll watch when we watch, or you were watching on YouTube highlights.
And that was definitely one of the things that he's been doing. It's just like, yeah, like, do it, man. Like, if you don't, if you're watching children's programming and you need to get it fixed, it's a lot easier to just do it that way.
Now, I know we don't have kids, but, and I, maybe this would be a totally different, but can you imagine just letting your children take over whatever you view and watch?
I
want to watch this. I don't give a shit. You ain't paying no bills, kid. So turn this garbage off, and we're going to watch a football game instead. Like, no. I'm guessing that's not how it would be, but I'm pretty sure that's how it would be. Like, no.
Yeah, it's. I feel like that situation can be handled different ways. Just because devices can hold programming now, I feel like that is an alternative. Obviously, that was not a choice when we were children.
No, like, I know this is like sounds like old man speak, but goddamn, kids now, teenagers, any of them, they are spoiled to death. Like, the access to things, like, the access to distraction is amazing. Like, you remember going on car rides? You had nothing. Like, at least you had siblings you could fight with or talk to, whatever, right? Me, I didn't have anybody.
Oh.
So, I either have to sit there and shut up, that's most of the time what would be said, or, like, when a Walkman was introduced with tapes.
Oh.
Like, finally, I got something to do. Or, like, our electronic video games were not what they are now.
Oof, like, no. Yeah.
Like Thanksgiving? Like some holiday? You ain't taking over the TV. I want to watch. No one cares. Shut up.
The adults are here. Weirdly, you know what? Thanksgiving was a little bit easier sometimes because there were not 12 football games on.
True. Yes.
And weirdly enough, I do remember actually watching Survivor, because was it the original Survivor Series? It was actually on Thanksgiving.
Yes, Thanksgiving Day. Yes.
Yeah. Yep. So
Thanksgiving night. Excuse me.
Well, just because Thanksgiving is one of those, hey, let's eat at some weird random time during the day holiday. Like, hey, yeah. let's eat at 3 o'clock. Like we normally eat at 5. Like, why are we eating at? Just go with it. Okay, sure.
See, my family now, they used to be the noon, so as soon as the Lions game would start, and then as it's gone on, it's gotten later and later, so we eat at halftime. And I'm like, we don't eat at 2 o'clock in the afternoon ever. What are we? Why? What are we doing? Let's eat at 11. I eat 6 times a day, so I don't need one designated time.
Let me graze.
Yes. Well, that's the other thing. So we eat at 3 o'clock, we'll say, all right? Because you were saying 3 o'clock as well.
Yeah.
But then at 11 o'clock, all of a sudden, all these hors d'oeuvres are a bowl of chips, cheese and crackers, vegetables. All this stuff is out. I'm like, we could just get the other food out first and avoid the cost of all this stuff. And then we could eat reasonably again later at night if we didn't eat at 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
That is the worst part to me. I'm like, I don't really want to be eating at 9:30 at night here, but here I am. Because I ate at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I am kind of hungry.
And you feel like a glutton no matter what you're eating. You're like, all right, so I'm eating some more turkey. That's not bad as protein, whatever else, but...
I'm going to go heavy on the sweet potatoes.
Yeah, no. Oh, that's just something I can't get behind. I've tried and tried. Sweet potatoes are gross.
Oh, I'm good with sweet potatoes, so...
I'm even kind of on the fence with regular mashed potatoes now. I'm like, just give me a baked potato, which is against traditional Thanksgiving rules. Like, whatever. I've been trying to convince my mom for years now, we don't need to do a turkey anymore.
Oh.
I said, no, it's tradition. It was tradition when you had to hunt the animal yourself. You can go to the store right now. And we're recording this at almost 10 o'clock at night. If you can find a Walmart, I guarantee you there's a turkey there right now.
Yeah.
It's not special. So how about we, like, smoke a brisket or something? Can we do anything else than this? Because, by the way, turkey's not good anyways. That's why you drown it in dressing. I'm sorry, in gravy, not dressing.
Yeah, I'm not sure I've mentioned it on the podcast before or not, but the younger brother's in-laws, they do Porksgiving because they're like, yeah, turkey sucks. Let's have a pork fest. And I'm like,
for ham and bacon and shit?
I think they do, pork roast or, like, I think they do just different stuff with it every year. Like, I think they've smoked it before. They've done all kinds of fun stuff. And it's just like, this is a tradition I can get behind.
A smoked ham sounds like a real smoked ham. That sounds, I'm hungry too.
And that's the one good thing that, my sister-in-law on the wife's side has taken over Thanksgiving duties these last 2 years. And I'll tell you what, she decided to order a smoked turkey from City Barbecue. I am in for that choice.
Have you ever done a deep-fried turkey?
No. I know that the older brother does that yearly at Christmas. Yeah, I think they do it at Christmas.
It's good. I was like, that's ridiculous. Wait, besides, you see all the videos of people that do it wrong and end up setting their house on fire?
Yeah.
Done correctly?
Yeah. He's been doing it correctly for like 20 plus years now. So yeah. I wouldn't be worried. But I have also, before having this City Barbecue version, I think there was 1 year where the wife and I got sick like the Tuesday of Thanksgiving. And we're like, we are not making trips anywhere, people. Like, we feel like ass. So we're staying at home, and at the last minute, we decided to smoke our own turkey. And yeah, that's the only way to eat turkey. Like, turkey does kind of suck. It's dry. Like, chicken over turkey every day of the week.
Yeah, it's not special. Like, we do, like, Christmas is different. They do prime rib every Christmas. Not a complaint to be heard by this guy. I'm like, okay, I'll do that all day. Can we bump this up to Thanksgiving and Easter? Oh, Easter we do ham. I don't know how ham became an Easter thing, but whatever. I don't remember that in the Bible anywhere, but okay.
Definitely was a thing, although it was usually lamb. Lamb in the DeFrango household. Popular choice. So, and Christmas-wise... always Italian feast, baby. gotta get your Guido on for Christmas.
Yeah, for Christmas we always did. Well, one, when my grandmother died, my grandfather, we didn't do anything anymore. We go to Pizza King, like one of the local Dearborn chains. That shit was good. not a chain, just a local store.
Yeah,
because they were always owned by Muslims, which I didn't know. I was young. I didn't know what the hell they were. They were called Arabs back then. Well, they didn't celebrate Christmas because that's not what they did. But everything was still open on Christmas Eve and Christmas because Dearborn has a giant Middle Eastern Muslim population.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll tell you what right now. Apparently Muslims make really good pizza because Pizza King was awesome. It was great. And it's funny as an adult now knowing that, like, oh, that's why they were open. Okay. All right, that makes sense. But then you're like, tell yeah. Merry Christmas. They'd be like, oh, Merry Christmas. Like, well, how polite. All right.
Not yeah.
some
yeah.
goddamn Karen now going, I'm Jewish. Okay, whatever. Just shut the fuck up. Maybe.
I'm wishing you something positive. Chill out.
Yeah, yeah. I'm actually trying to, like, be friendly. Which, coming from me, is, you know, you don't know me, honey. That's a big step. So, yeah. Yeah, so our Christmas Eve dinners turned into Pizza King. It's just a straight pepperoni, large pepperoni pizza.
Nice.
That sounds awesome. God, I think I'm hungry.
Yeah. Because in a similar vein, I did kind of laugh that one of my Jewish friends was, his family actually does do the let's go to a Chinese restaurant on Christmas Day kind of family. And I'm just like, oh, that's...
Huh.
I thought that was just in the Christmas story. Like, this is a real thing.
But I guess, all right, so that's how, like, dumb I am to other cultures. I guess the Chinese don't celebrate Christmas anyways.
Well, yeah, neither party celebrates Christmas, really.
But see,
so it's just like, oh, this all makes sense now. Like you said, like, maybe when I was a kid, I didn't quite make sense watching Christmas Story. But now I'm like, oh, yeah, math kind of checks out on this one. Yeah.
But see, I've had this conversation with my old roommate Scott because he was Jewish, and I've had this conversation with Shahid because
Muslim.
Yeah. So I'm like, so wait a second, because I keep seeing, like, especially Shahid, like the earlier, like the recent conversation is, so you're getting Christmas gifts, but you're Muslim, right? He's like, yeah. He's like, well, you know, she celebrates Christmas. I'm like, well, I don't mean you get to celebrate Christmas. Well, I'm here to reap the benefits of it. It's like, you're a horrible Muslim. How dare you? But I backtracked, and I to this day. So Christmas, people complain that Christmas has been aped by consumerism, and, you know, it's buy, whatever.
Yeah.
And Santa Claus has taken over for Jesus. Cool, you know, the religious aspects of it. That's debatable now. Anyways, I don't care about this. Well, everything we can agree on is Santa Claus is a permanent resident of Christmas now. It doesn't matter your religion. You got Santa Claus. Use that aspect of it and get some goddamn gifts. Get the day off. Close your shop. Wait. Well, you're Hindu. Or what is it, Hindu? Yeah, right?
Who?
Sure. We'll go with that.
I mean, that's another category if you want to go for it.
See, so are Hinduism. Well, you're not Catholic or a Christian, no. Why are you celebrating Christmas? Santa Claus. It's the season.
Yeah. Why not? You could.
It's a hard argument. Yeah. So celebrate it because it's pretty cool. Hey, and I know the Jews have Hanukkah and all that with the 8 crazy nights or whatever. You get some weak ass gifts until you get to the last day, which is a good gift. At least that's what all my Jewish friends told me. I don't know. Christmas, you get all of them, and they're all awesome. Sounds like a better gig than Hanukkah to me. So,
Here's
the old comedy bits? Like, here's a dreidel for Christmas. Yay. I don't even know if that's a real thing, but...
It probably was a comedy bit at some juncture.
Yeah. Like, I got a new iPhone. What'd you get? No, South Park, that's right. I got a new dreidel. It was Stan.
No.
Or no, Kyle. Kyle, sorry. Oh, I got a new dreidel. Yeah, that's right. That's where that was from. But.
Oh, man.
Christmas is awesome, man. Use it and get the day off. Use it to get the week off. Who cares?
Oof, yeah.
Your name ends in Ling or Ko or Chu. Whatever, dude. Get on it. Get the day off work.
Oh,
at the very least, use these holidays to your advantage, and the rest of the year, don't care. It's that easy. It's a subtle way of fucking the system.
Yep. Work smarter, not harder, as the the kids like to say.
Yep. What's that quiet quitting that people were doing?
Oh, Jesus Christ!
Which is backfired now. Can't imagine your work going, hey, you're not working at all. Yeah? All right, well, you're fired. Wait, what? But, Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a worry about me kind of guy.
That's exactly it.
People can have these great resignations or whatever shenanigans they want to deal with. You have at it. I'm okay with what I'm getting paid, so I will leave it at that.
Don't you want to get paid more? Yeah. Yeah, obviously I do. Like, one has nothing to do with the other.
Well, it helps to, I mean, it does help to not be in the position that most of those people are talking about, also. Most of the people that are fighting for that money are definitely a little bit lower on the pay scale than yours truly.
Well, full disclosure, I really don't know what that stuff is. I just read like a headline and then like the
No.
first paragraph of it. It's like quiet quitting. I guess you're not working and whatever
Oh.
else. I'm like, okay, whatever. So.
Yeah, there's all kinds of dumb shit that comes up. I'm just like, okay, whatever, man. Like,
Yeah, exactly. Like, cool. What? This isn't a real thing. So, like,
yeah,
120 people did it. And you just happen to find out about it. Like, okay, whatever. So, much like everything else. So,
yep, as long as I'm busy, I don't care what's happening everywhere
don't even
else.
care about being busy. As long as I'm getting paid and I can fake it to where it looks like I'm busy.
That works too. That
Yeah, I mean,
works
I'm
too.
approaching a retirement age. I don't care.
Yeah,
I'm closer to that than when I first started working, that's for sure.
that was definitely a fact that has dawned on me somewhat recently. So.
Well, the transition that the wrestling, speaking of retire, if you watched AEW TV last night, it's the year 2022, and at the end of this segment on stage was Jay Lethal, Sanjay Dutt, Jeff Jarrett, and some dude. It's 2022. I was losing my mind last night because I didn't know Jay Lethal was supposed to be on the show. And all of a sudden, there he is again. And we talked about this last week. All the people who weren't on the show, who haven't been on the show. And there they are again. And then they added Jeff Jarrett. I don't know what's going on with the show anymore. I honestly don't. I'm legitimately not enjoying watching AEW now. And that sucks.
Last night was that one was especially rough. I don't feel like it's been good recently. Last night, though, was one where I'm like, oh my God, the stench on this show is just. Because I guess to start at that segment that you were talking about, you had texted me about it. And so I guess I knew to expect something bad. And normally I'm like, oh, he's overselling this. It's not going to be that bad. And I heard the line from Jarrett about Triple H and Braun Strowman. And it's just like, oh my God. Like, the first thing that hit me is like, I think every promo up to that promo had mentioned the WWE already. And it's just like, oh my God, guys. Like, I don't mind a reference to it every now and again. But when everyone is referencing it in your show, it's gone too far. Like, you're trying to be too edgy and you're trying to be too real. And the thing that was even more disappointing is that people were still doing the oohs after these lines. I'm like, you've got to be fucking kidding me, people.
Yeah. So one thing to take from what you said is they keep bringing up WWE. Well, every wrestler in AEW in an interview says, no, there's no competition. We're just here to make a wrestling show, and we want to draw people into our product, blah, blah, blah. That's always the AEW line. And then you do the exact opposite on your show. So I'm confused at your message. And last night, like, the Jeff Jarrett thing just stood out. Because he's clearly bitter about being fired.
Triple H.
Braun Strowman doesn't do himself favors with his Twitter account.
Oh. Okay? Yes.
There's no way around that.
Yeah, that is pretty much fact at this point. That he has foot-in-mouth disease.
And then, like, his back, his, like, backing off, like, oh, I'm just kidding around. Like, Will Ospreay's response to him was very accurate. Why aren't you just happy making money? He's like, oh, and then Braun's like, oh, I'm just messing around with the internet community. Well, why? Like, the guy on top of the mountain doesn't care what the people at the bottom are doing. Don't fucking worry about it. Like, everyone's been very happy to see Braun Strowman back on TV.
And
why are you doing this?
And they've done a perfectly fine job with presenting his character, too.
Yes, and dude, that match with him and Omos was pretty good.
It was better than any right that it had to be.
So what you do is nothing. Don't say a word. You and the boys get on the plane, have some drinks, and pass the fuck out. Talk shit on the plane. And then we can get to the dirt sheets like normal. What?
Yeah, just don't post it yourself. If it gets out there that way, it's just like there's no verifiable way to, you know, go with it. People will still not like you. But then you won't have foot and mouth disease. It really is not that hard.
Is there anything worse than somebody goes, I don't care what people think, or I don't care if people don't like me?
And then they immediately care when someone says something bad about them.
Well, there's that, and then just saying that in general. The second you go, I don't care what you think, well, why are you telling me that then? If you don't care, all you do is go, nothing. You just walk off. Like, well, this idiot. You know, I've never understood that concept. Like, when people say, I don't like people. Yes, you do, because you talk to them. You have friends. Stop saying dumb shit like that.
Yeah. You know? We know you're not actually an incel. Come on.
Yeah, like, just stop. So, but, that being said, the guy clearly doesn't do himself favors.
Oh.
Still a fan, by the way.
But, still, there's over-exaggeration in wrestling just in general. There are times, though, that it just strikes me as so disingenuous that it's just like you're trying... I get it. Satnam Singh is a foot and an inch taller than Braun Strowman or something ridiculous like that. Or, mm-hmm. Yeah, something... Whatever. Whatever the height difference is. And, okay, he's bigger than him. There's a reason he hasn't been in the ring, guys. Like, yeah. He's not a wrestler yet. Like, you're just bringing him out here as an attraction, and that's fine. But, like, that is just one of those ones that it's so patently absurd to me that he's trying to compare, even with all of Braun Strowman's foot and mouth disease, he has done roughly 100 times more in the wrestling business than Satnam Singh. And I know that he hasn't even been around a terribly long time.
Right. Well, we're also, all right, if we're going into this, we're also discounting or forgetting or ignoring poor Omos. Because he's probably tall or taller, as tall or taller than Satnam Singh. Now, good or bad, do you remember a Satnam Singh match? The answer to that would be no. I can tell you the last time Omos had a match, it was in front of like 40, 50,000 people.
In Saudi Arabia.
With Braun Strowman. Which is why I sent that text to you. In the amount of time it took me to type this text, Braun Strowman has made more money in this business than Jeff Jarrett ever did. So Jeff Jarrett, like, that's the problem. Like, it was like, consider the source kind of, and like...
Oh, yeah.
You got Jeff Jarrett, who has never done a damn thing to make money. Sorry, TNA wasn't successful. It wasn't. So they sold it to the Carter family, or the Carters took it over. Ran that shit into the ground. He disappears. Global Force Wrestling. Because some old lady gave him money, which is the most carny wrestling thing ever. That gets nowhere. Goes to WWE, gets a job, cool. Gets fired because Triple H is putting his people in charge. Which, if you're part of the business like Jeff Jarrett has been, don't you kind of understand that? You surround yourself with your people. He's out there talking about the... What did he say about Triple H?
He called him Hook Nose and something else.
Not Hook Nose. It's... Banana Nose.
Banana Nose.
Banana... This is a 50 going on 60-year-old man calling someone Banana Nose. Holy shit. And then you got some giant in red skinny jeans. I would kill to be able to wear skinny jeans like Braun Strowman does. That dude's fucking strong as hell. Wearing skinny jeans? That's badass.
And it's he acts like he isn't completely fucking ripped too now. Just like the guy's 6'8 or whatever and just jacked to the, well, like shredded to the gills. Like, yeah. get the fuck out of here. Like, I would be okay with, you know, that level of physique at my height.
Yeah. And then his argument also was that he was a corporate molded or corporate crafted creation or something?
Oh.
Isn't that Hulk Hogan? Braun, no, not Braun. Well, Braun Strowman, sure. Yeah. John Cena was?
Yeah.
Like, the most successful acts ever were creations through a promotion.
Yes.
So what the fuck are you talking about?
Yes. The fascinate, that part of the fascination with the indies is a little much. You know, there have definitely been ideas that have helped take people over the top to get to, you know, that level. You know, the Hogan and Cena kind of level. Like, there's needed to be some intervention. Like, I don't think that you're really going to become that big without some type of help like that. You know what I mean?
Well, even at a much lower level, and I'm being dead serious here, look at Kamala.
Oh.
He's a creation. And no, I guess it wouldn't be a corporate, but I think that was Jeff Jarrett's dad that did that, if I remember right. Was it Sweet Sugar Brown or something was his name, if I remember right?
Okay.
And they're like, oh, we're going to do this. So you created this character who lasted and drew money forever. So you're bagging on stuff like that. Missing, like, Jesus Christ. But, like, you're a corporate creation that makes money. Bill Goldberg!
Is a corporate creation, yes.
Yeah. So, what is this? Like, why are you so bitter? You got to go into the WWE Hall of Fame, which I love this, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Yes, you lost your job because the regime changed. You go have Ric Flair's last match, which, that's your fault. And then you get hired by AEW to work behind the scenes, and then... For some reason, unbeknownst to anybody with half a fucking brain, you're on TV as The Last Outlaw, which is a total 1980s, 70s, 60s gimmick. And you have the audacity to get out there and criticize other people who are more successful than you. Oh, by the way, you're surrounded by Jay Lethal, who oozes machismo. Shut the fuck up. He doesn't ooze charisma. Not Sanjay Dutt. Yeah, Sanjay Dutt, right?
Yeah.
This is how much I don't care. He's got 160 IQ. Well, then maybe he should be smart enough to figure out how to not suck, because I can't stand him. And then you got the big man who just stands there.
Yeah, that was an underrated part of that just horrific segment, was the Sanjay Dutt screed to start things off. I could not have been more turned off.
Shit. That entire group, and again, if you're like, I'm going to watch wrestling, you turn this on. Who did Jay Lethal beat, by the way? I don't even remember.
Oh, I know. I have the results pulled up, but I'm not looking at that match right now.
It wasn't anybody significant, was it?
I don't think so. Oh, Trent Beretta.
Okay, so no one. I mean, no offense to Trent, but yeah, no one. So, okay. So why is that match on AEW TV, by the way? Being dead serious. Why?
Because they did a backstage segment for it.
So anyways, that's my weekly rant about Jay Lethal, now including Jeff Jarrett, which should never be on TV again. I don't understand why Jay Lethal is on my TV in 2022 with Sanjay Dutt, some dude, and Jeff Jarrett.
You got me. I mean, we've been bitching about it for I don't know how long now.
I know it's a dead horse. There's not even bones left.
Yeah, we have dissected that as much as you can. And yeah, that was just one of just a lot of things on AEW this week that just felt, like you said, like I wanted to switch the station. Like when I was listening to the Saraya and Britt Baker confrontation, I took my earpiece out a couple of times listening to it. Like, it was so I'm sitting there watching a little bit of it, and Saraya wants to confront Britt Baker badly about this news, but then looks at the hard camera to give the news. And that part right there, just that immediately turned me off. I'm like, that's something that you say straight to the other person's face that you're going to kick their ass. You do not need to look at the hard camera for that. You know? And then just the speech on both sides is just like, oh my gosh, ladies, just they're trying to be so cool about the whole WWE thing that it's just like,
I'm trying to figure out how to frame this, but it's like, I'm tired of this stuff. Just come in, like, Saraya's like, I'm going to start a revolution. We're going to take this, do this, we're going to do this. I think that was the lone women's segment outside of Jay Cargill, which that needs to be addressed. And then, yeah, Jamie Hayter versus Sky Blue.
Oh, yes.
That's it. Oh, and Toni Storm came out. Okay.
So but if for that if
things
match.
Are changing, why is there still one woman's match on the show? When we had Jay Lethal go against Trent Beretta. Just going to throw that back, to bring it back around. So, I just, it's the same shit. I'm here for a revolution. I'm here to do this. Britt Baker correctly going, you're another WWE person coming in here trying to say, I'm going to do shit. You're not going to do it. As it's been shown, that's not what happens. So you're like, I'm supposed to cheer for Saraya when oh my god, almost went into character mode, when Britt Baker is correct. She's been there, she has been the face of the division, whether it's been because of booking choices or because she's the only marketable star, which is not true, by the way, but the only marketable star that they've put out there.
Right.
Jay Cargill should be all over the place, by the way.
Yeah, at this point, I'm trying to figure out which way to go since both ways are fine.
Whatever's nothing wrong with either one.
I think I maybe talked to, I don't know if it was you or Chris about it, or maybe it was even Shahid, that as much as I liked Britt Baker on the indies and have kind of liked her development, I do think that there is something that gets taken away from her performances that, A, maybe she isn't all that athletically gifted. And that kind of limits things, especially with how athletic wrestling in general is these days. And I feel like she's gotten to her ceiling, and the women in the WWE are still better than her. And she's right that she helped build the division. It still has better places to be, and I do think, and maybe this is the good way to do it, Jade Cargill seems to be the answer. They also, you know, it's getting hard to say it's not time to pull the trigger on her being the women's the main women's champion.
Well, I guess, like, the women's championship means next to nothing. It's been such a goofy ride. Like, all the way back to when Britt Baker was a champion, she beats Thunder Rosa. Thunder Rosa wins a number one contenders match the following week. Why? Okay. And then she wins the title in a steel cage match. Then, I think it's a little bit later, she has to give up the title for an undisclosed injury. Toni Storm wins the interim title, and Toni Storm. How the hell can professional football players continually miss extra points? Like, what happens when you get out of college, you go to the pros, and you fucking suck as a kicker? That's embarrassing. And I don't know, I've been swearing a lot. Goddamn beers. It's been a month. So.
Oh, man.
Anyways, but it's like, Britt Baker's right that she put the women's division on the map. She is. Because she was the only one that they focused on. When they tried to go to somebody else, it doesn't work. Because no one, like, they don't, Tony Khan doesn't have the trust, apparently, to put it on anybody else. How often have you heard Jamie Hayter talk?
And I think that's one of the reasons why I've been somewhat insulting to Jamie Hayter herself. Like, she's had a couple of, you know, good to great matches, I guess. I still don't think she's had that much of a track record to kind of be in the position that it's just like, what? Oh, people are almost expecting her. Oh, even the announcers, I forgot. That even the announcers were like, oh, Toni Storm should be watching out for Jamie Hayter. She's on the roll of a lifetime or, you know, something within that area. And it's just like, oh my God, like that's how much that they're behind her right now. Like that they're throwing things like that out there. Like just the announcers are throwing stuff out there like that. And I'm like,
the announcers, we'll get into in a second, by the way. But I asked you this a few weeks ago. I don't get it with Jamie Hayter. I'm not saying she's not talented. I'm just saying I don't understand where the groundswell came from. And you said, well, look at her butt. I'm like, well, that's true, but really? And
yeah, it's one of those ones that I've caught it. I catch enough of Twitter still to get, you know, a little bit of a pulse, I suppose, of what's going on. But I do not live there by any means. And it's just like, I don't, again, like, that's why I'm like, I'm kind of with you there, where I've seen a couple of her matches. I think that she could be good. She still needs to be built up, and she hasn't had that much of a storyline in her being sidecarded with Britt Baker this whole time hasn't helped her situation out at all, in my opinion.
No, and I don't know. It's just like their women's division is a nightmare, and I don't understand why there's not more focus on it, because they've got a lot of people in it. Even if they're not good, doesn't matter. Like, who was the Willow Nightingale? Right?
Yes.
Jake Cargill?
Yeah.
All of a sudden had another title match against her. Why? Because it's AEW?
And they did at least give her a little bit of a story going into that. Because she won some type of tournament or something.
No, she just happened to be there.
No, she won like an ROH tournament or something weird like that. Yeah, well, trust me, like, so, I mean, we're going down the AEW rabbit hole at this point. Like, unfortunately for myself, I've watched, like, pretty much all their Rampages and Dynamites as of late. And it's rough.
I just like the fact that you framed it as she won an ROH tournament, so she gets an AEW TBS title shot. Because that makes sense.
Oh, well, I mean, it made as much sense as that other, speaking of AEW /ROH championships and the announcers, the whole Wardlow Samoa Joe situation. I'm like, the announcers start going, oh, there's been tension building between these two for the last couple of weeks. And I'm like,
yeah,
they've been saving each other's asses left and right. What the fuck are you talking about? Like,
the announcing was spectacular last night for awful. And yeah, you're exactly right. They're like, there's been tension between them. I'm like, there has? Where? Like, in the airport or something? Not on TV. But, so I was surprised they pulled the trigger so quick, because as soon as Wardlow said, I'm coming for all the belts, and I'm like, well, your partner's got a belt. And all of a sudden, Joe's like, nah, fuck this. And then they went to a crowd shot. They're like, oh, you idiot. How do you blow this? How do you blow the shot of Joe attacking him? This low-rent garbage it's the easiest thing in the world. The director knows, okay, he's going to attack him, so we'll just stick with this angle. Now let's go to the kid with a fucking Slurpee in his hands. Like,
yeah, people are, the directors on both shows are so desperate for that reaction now that they cut to people just entirely too frequently like that all the time. Because I was wondering if that was just me not completely paying attention, or if that's how it actually happened. And now that you're saying it, I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, it was a blown shot, and it wasn't me not paying attention.
No, when went to hit him with the belt, they cut to something else. And I just slapped my knee, like, oh my god, they blew it again. And Elisa goes, what? I was like, they blew the camera shot again. This is the easiest thing to do. Keep the goddamn camera on one angle. We're done. Go to the next one. And then, like, oh, and then what happened after that? I don't remember.
Well,
it certainly wasn't follow-up.
That's the other problem that I have with this angle. We start this whole Will Hobbs and Wardlow situation. And now it's going to be a Wardlow, Will Hobbs, Samoa Joe situation?
It's pretty clear that it's going to be a three-way. And I don't like that. But, if there's a creative way around this, to where the TNT title and the Ring of Honor TV title merge and make it just a TV title so that it can be defended on Ring of Honor and AEW, I'm all for it.
Uh-oh.
Like a crossover of sorts.
Yeah.
So that there's a crossover that makes sense. Having Ring of Honor people in AEW fighting for Ring of Honor titles doesn't make any sense. It drives me crazy that we're constantly having Ring of Honor title matches. I'm watching AEW. Do you know why you own Ring of Honor? Because I wasn't watching Ring of Honor. And that's why they got rid of it and sold it.
And you haven't been able to talk anyone into any type of a TV deal in the time that you've bought it and supposedly have been shopping it for additional TV time.
And if you have a TV deal coming up, great. Then I want none of these people on AEW TV. That means Daniel Garcia, he's still the Pure Champion, right? I wouldn't know because he wasn't on the show.
Was he in a backstage segment with Jericho or something?
Maybe. I don't know. Like, Jericho's overseas. So he wasn't even on the show.
Oh, well, then if Jericho wasn't on, he wasn't on then.
Yeah, well. So, like, FTR's the tag champs. All right, cool.
Well, the ROH tag champs and whatever other 12 championships they have.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And that's another one. I forgot. Now they're doing this. The announcers are doing the same sales job with FTR, Orange Cassidy, and Jon Moxley. All of them are fighting champions who fight all the time, and their bodies are getting worn down because of all the championship matches. Why do you have the same story going with three different champions?
Well,
like it. Oh my God. Holy smokes. Someone needs to have a different storyline. I mean, I guess Wardlow isn't a fighting champion because he never defends the TNT championship practically. Although, was that a championship match against Daivari?
Probably, because that makes sense in AEW. If you've never won a match, or if you've been on Dark for 7 or 8 months, you get a title match. Why? Because that's AEW. So, which we haven't even touched on this Eliminator tournament, or this World Title tournament, which has got everybody we talked about last week, by the way, in this tournament. Everybody that hasn't been on TV. All of you are determined to win a title shot. Yeah, but I haven't been on TV in months. No, it's all right.
Oh, I guess I didn't even see the field for the... Did they actually unveil Ethan that during
Page,
the show?
Eddie Kingston, Bandito.
Oh, that's right. Because they did have the two qualifying matches this week.
Yes. And it's like... I'm not saying they listened to our show. Even though the old Torch days, we were convinced there was a WWE person listening.
Well,
we talk about stuff, and that week or the week after, it would happen. So that was kind of cool.
It would be awesome if we ended up with an AEW mole.
Well, they can't be very happy listening to this.
That's when change happens, baby.
Even on WWE TV, they mentioned something on commentary we said. That was the coolest thing ever. So...
Yeah. Don't get too derailed. What the hell were we talking about?
Well, just like this, the Samoa Joe stuff, whatever.
Yeah.
That's fine. I want Will Hobbs to be featured more because he's fresh. I'm not saying Wardlow's not fresh, but Joe's not. I love Joe. I've always loved Samoa Joe. But he's not a fresh face. Will Hobbs is. Wardlow is. That's a fresh match. Let's do that.
That's the only thing that I don't like in this equation. Like, Samoa Joe is the only guy to take that pin. Because, yeah, both... I mean, Ricky Hobbs, or Will Hobbs and Ricky Starks, they split up, and it seemed like, oh, we're really gonna, you know, go buck wild here with Ricky Starks. Like, he had to win that other match. Like, you know, Hobbs squashes him, and I was like, oh, well, that was an interesting choice. It seemed like the groundswell was really with Starks this time. And then Starks eventually gets the win back. And then we end up with Ricky Starks gets his ass kicked routinely backstage. Lance Archer did the job this week. And now Will Hobbs is in another feud that is likely going to end up in him losing. It's just like, this is not a way to build a guy up, people. Like, I'm just... throwing it out there.
I'm with you, and I hope that's not what happens. What I'm hoping is this Wardlow-Will Hobbs thing turns into, like, they're the people, and I'm just going to say it like this so it's clear as day. That's Rock and Austin. Hobbs and Wardlow have their foils forever. You know, like, established. These two hosses are constantly going to be fighting with each other. It can go back and forth. There's no shame in it. You know, stuff like that. I just like Will Hobbs. He's unique looking. In that he's like a big dude, but he's not huge. He looks huge, but he's not. His facial expressions are awesome. That snarl, oh my God. I'd love to be able to do that. And then you've got Wardlow, who's kind of a like the jock. He's kind of sleek too. So, you know, just was it what Biggie's always say, like big sweaty meat, big sweaty men slapping meat.
Yes,
I'm all for that stuff, except in my porn. I'm like, no, boys, no. So
you can take this part of my entertainment off here, guys.
Yeah, no. Just concentrate what's in between you guys. That's fine. But no, and I we need to move on to something else. We spent way too much time on AEW, but it's impossible not to talk about this. One, the rules don't make any sense. And two, the announcers backing up the lack of rules is infuriating.
Oh, that was something that I guess I had started to notice it during the show, but then by the end of the show, when did Guevara attack? Oh, yeah, it was when Guevara threw the chair at Bryan Danielson. Like, that was the only moment where I'm just like, okay, at least tactically, that did in fact make sense for Guevara to do that.
Right.
The unfortunate circumstance for him is that they had really been building throughout the whole show that you should do whatever it takes to win a match. Because someone got attacked from behind coming down the ramp. Was it Trent? Oh, it was Trent Beretta, actually.
Yes.
And just every shortcut, there was no one disagreeing with just take a shortcut. I don't know why Tony Schiavone and Taz feel like they need to be on the same page. And Excalibur is just too worried about the next fucking ad read to...
Yeah.
Like, I'm not holding him blameless, per se. He also seems to have enough on his plate that he's not supposed to be in that position either.
Yeah. My thing was, it started with the Trent Beretta stuff. He gets attacked before the match. He's not even in the ring. Tony Schiavone goes, that's a sound strategy. More people should take advantage of that. What? And then they roll in the ring, and the referee rings the bell. And I'm yelling, like, what is this bullshit? And like, that's a pretty sound strategy. What? That's like being a pitcher. There's no batter there. He just throws two balls. The umpire says strike and strike two. And the batter comes up going, wait, what? I wasn't even here. He's like, well, sound strategy. He threw the ball before he got here. What? That's what this is. Imagine in UFC, you
jump your opponent before he gets to the octagon.
Right. And Michael Buffer has to hurry up and, no, Bruce Buffer has to hurry up and run out because you're already beating him up. And then Herb Dean goes, oh, he tapped. Like, what?
Well, and they didn't even do, the WWE tries to do the bare minimum to cover for that situation. Yeah. They have a tendency to at least go to a commercial break and let whomever got beat up recover so that they can then accept the match. And AEW didn't even do that courtesy. They, like you said, like he rolled him into the ring and the ref's like, yep, let's just ring the bell. The referees are another part of AEW that is just confounding. They are, I know that refs are inherently bumbling idiots in wrestling. They just have no authority in AEW whatsoever. Other than pinfalls, I guess. No one listens to them. And you need the rules to be adhered to in order for the cheating to pay off in a storyline sense. So yeah, the announcers de-stressing the rules really makes the situation just, it makes a bad situation even worse.
Well, in the Guevara Bryan Danielson match, yeah, I said his name right. Huh, look at that.
It's been long enough, finally.
Yeah. Guevara throws the chair and hits him straight in the face. I was like, oh, wow. And then Bryce Resmer's like, what'd you do that for? Calls and said he's disqualified. Tony Schiavone goes, well, wait, what's the call here? Is your monitor off? Listen, I don't like Chris. Chris loves Tony Schiavone. He seems like a perfectly nice man. Peace out, brother. Enough of you. Enough.
Something has gotten, like, the whole weird, just in general, and I suppose I'm just going to go there now, the cultiness of AEW at this point, and I'm not honestly accusing Chris of it per se at all in this situation. People have really built up Schiavone here as the second coming, and I do think in some ways it's been better that Jim Ross hasn't been on Dynamite, I think, recently, for the most part. Like, he does make the guest spot, but I feel like his situation is Rampage more now for whatever reasons. I mean, I'm still not going to, I'm not listening, or I'm not watching the show just because of Jim Ross, guys. Like,
I don't think anybody watches for an announcer. If you are, you're weird.
Yes, I get excited when I have certain announcers on my TV, but I am not watching any specific game because of the announcer.
This is This is the perfect transition point. Because Booker T fucking sucks. What happened? What happened to Booker T, the commentator? He was not that bad years ago when he was on SmackDown.
Oh.
He is awful. And I put up with it for a few weeks to let him get acclimated to NXT, let him learn the characters, learn the storylines. And Booker T just went, nah, I'm not doing that. I'm just going to be out here. He's one of my favorite personalities ever. I've always loved Booker T. Him as an announcer is straight garbage. It's just hurting the product. God.
A poor Vic Joseph.
Oh, yes.
Is trying to wrangle Booker T. And he is doing everything he can to try and do so. And unfortunately for him, it is not working out at all. Booker T is just in business for himself. And
I don't even know if he's in business for himself.
Well,
he doesn't even know what to say. Like, all right, so the one I texted you about, who beat Sal Roca?
She just came back from
Lopez?
Electra Lopez, yeah.
Okay. She beats her, and all he keeps saying is, needs more reps. You should need more reps. What does that even mean? And Vic goes, well, she's only had her third match. Needs more reps. You could get a button with somebody's voice on it and just keep pressing it. And it would add more than Booker T does.
Like, I understood, I guess I understand what Booker T is trying to say is that she needs more experience and that third match isn't going to cut it.
Hey, by the way, I'm sorry, go ahead and finish.
Well, from that respect, I understand it, you know what I mean? But also, it's just like, I think Vic was fishing for something more than she needs more matches here. Yeah. Like,
okay, so how did you just explain what Booker T was trying to say? Can you say that again?
What, that he was trying to say that she just needed to wrestle more matches? That she needed more experience?
Yeah, she needs more reps. She needs more reps. Like, well, oh. I think you did a much better job of explaining it than Booker T did. Through his own words. It's like, where'd your vocabulary go, man? He has a podcast every single day to where he talks, no problem. But his announcer, Booker T, it's just words.
I do think, in a lot of ways, I think that that's been the problem. You know, I think he's kind of to podcast Booker T. Like, there's a different, you need to go different places when you're an announcer than when you're a podcaster. You know, like, and honestly, the whole mixing of both of those mediums, I don't think is doing him any favors, because that was one of those Twitter engagements that I did have a chuckle at when, what's her name? Roxanne Perez is just like, hey, why is Cora Jade in your fave five here? Like, what the fuck are you doing, Foul? Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, oh, man. You are correct, Miss Perez. B, yeah, it's just like, yeah, I think he's just trying to mix both things, and it's not good. You know? There's a blurred line between podcast Booker T and announcer Booker T, and I think that's the difference. You know, like, before, he was just trying to be an announcer. Like, he... Yeah, like...
Yes. Yes, you're exactly right. Yes, he would.
Vic, and I guess maybe that's what I mean by he's going into business for himself. Like, Vic tries to throw him a line or to get him to go some direction, and Booker T is just like, whatever pops in his head is where it goes. Like, it, I feel sometimes Vic is just like talking to the wall.
Yes, he is. That's what it seems like talking to Booker T would really be like. Yeah, like, hey, how's today going? Well, back in my day, like, no, I just want to know how your day's going. And it just keeps going. But, like, as much as we complain about the AEW show and, like, what they're doing, it's not that NXT is that much better, to be honest.
It's more, it's more coherent.
Yes, but it also seems like what NXT does correctly, they really do correctly.
That helps.
This Chase U stuff is stupid. It is as well as the not Katana Chance. What the hell's the other
Kiana James?
Trying to buy a bar that doesn't exist now is it's so ridiculous, but they're so earnest in the storytelling. That it's like, okay, I'm on board. And
yes.
Like, this whole thing, Duke Hudson, I love how this is playing out. I'm sorry Bodie Miller, or Bodie Hayward, whatever his name is, got cut. Duke Hudson, like, sliming his way into his role, clearly still the bad guy. And Andre Trace, thinking, like, looking at him virtuously, like, no, he's a good guy. It's okay.
Yes. Yeah, he is blind to the wool being pulled over his eyes currently.
But 2 weeks ago, he wasn't.
I mean, he's backed him up a couple of times. Duke Hudson, in the meantime, has backed him up a couple of times. And, I mean, he didn't help in the match, but then did help afterwards.
Yes.
So, I do think that they're doing a good... A, he's not selling it too... Duke Hudson is not selling it too much. You know what I mean? No. Like, he's seeming earnest himself. I do think that... I'm with you that I think that he's going to turn eventually.
He has to.
But...
It's Duke Hudson. He's never been a good guy. All of a sudden, Bodie's gone, and he's embracing this role, and he even said, like, that was a teachable moment. He picks up the flag, like, confidently and proudly.
Yeah.
And you're like, and then he throws the towel in after, like, a couple seconds. You're like, what?
Yeah, like, they're doing it, like you said, like, when they're doing stuff right, they're doing it right, and I think that that is on that list, you know what I mean? Like, Duke Hudson is doing just enough to give off the hints that you know that it's coming, but not too much for it to, like, just whiff like shit.
Yeah, and then you move over to the other one with Kiana James and... Oh my God.
Fallon Josh Henley,
the other guy,
Briggs and Jensen.
Yeah, that's it. I keep wanting to say Stratton, so I didn't say it. But so you know where this is going. Jensen's stupid ass is going to get seduced by one of these two chicks, and it's going to cause all sorts of chaos. Then they're going to have a match to try and win the bar back. But it makes sense, and they make it entertaining.
Yes.
Like, I don't like Brooks Jensen. I don't like Jensen at all. I think he's boring. The whole virgin gimmick's kind of stupid. Whatever. But I like Josh Briggs. And what's the Tatum Paxley? Is that her name?
Fallon Henley.
Fallon Henley. Hey, listen. They all sound like goofy-ass names, so.
Oh, yeah, well, and I guess when you said that, I'm like, oh, where has Tatum Paxley been here?
Probably where she deserves to be. I don't know. You know? So, it's like, what they do right, they go, like, it's weird because what they do right, they go all in on. And it's goofy and it works.
Yeah.
But then when like, stuff that doesn't work, whatever, it's, like, mediocre.
Yeah.
So,
like, yeah.
Well, I was wondering what was going on with the beginning of the show with Joe Gacy beating Cameron Grimes. And it's confirmed Cameron Grimes is going up to the main roster. Thank God.
Oh, that is beyond time.
So, but they haven't said what show yet. So,
that was one of your texts that I was just about in tears about. I was like, is this, when I was watching that match, first off, I'm like, is this the first time they've done Gacy in tights? And I'm like, why are they doing him in tights? Like, this is, like, if there's ever a guy that should be wrestling in jeans and a t-shirt, like, he's, I mean, he's not even Kevin Owens big, honestly, but it's still, like, it fits his gimmick. So why are you having him wrestle in tights? Like, that was, to me, that was the most confusing tight for the turns. Shit, I screwed that up still, and I thought I was cleaning it up. But yeah, that was really kind of a weird look for a guy that just should not be in tights. Like, I don't ever need to see Bray Wyatt in tights. Completely unnecessary.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Harris vibes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just, he's done with them. Like, and Joe Gacy, like, if he changes his gimmick and they want to go with Trunks, sure, have at it. Right now, nah, man, the faux pastor look was great, and enough people wrestle in jeans and or pants now that I don't think it has the stigma that it used to. Maybe it does. I'm not sure.
I don't know, actually.
I mean, I still feel like people kind of push towards the towards the Trunks to be quote-unquote more serious. There should be, as usual, there should be exceptions to rules.
Yeah. But no, I saw that and went, oh my God, what are they doing? Because, and I'm going to sound mean, he doesn't have the best physique. He doesn't have a physique for tights.
He had good legs.
Yeah. Well,
that part was enlightening, I suppose.
So, yeah. That's the unfortunate part is, that's all I took from this whole angle was, hey, can we put a shirt back on? For your own benefit, put a shirt back on, dude. And it, because he doesn't look intimidating. Now listen, I'm not exactly, you know, ace fan of this whole Joe Gacy stuff. But he had a look.
Yeah.
And it just gets ruined with the body type. It's such a dick thing to say, so it makes me uncomfortable saying stuff like that.
Right.
But it's true. He's not fat.
No.
He's not Dusty Rhodes.
No, that's why I said he's not even Kevin Owens big, yeah. You know? Like, he's just... And I can definitely tell that he at least uses weights. I can not say that about a lot of people.
Yeah. So I'm not. Yeah. It's always such. It's almost like a touchy thing because I'm not exactly the smallest dude either.
Right.
But I'm not wearing fucking Speedos either. Although, never mind. So. Rock someone else in St. Martin. Oh, fucking God, that was fun. So anyways, but...
Because I'm trying to see if there's anything else that...
J.D. McDonough towering over Axiom? That was a surprise.
Oh, wow.
His 8-foot-long neck and giant head, and there's a little wee Axiom. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, Triple H is really trying to test the big. You don't need to have a big guy to be a champion situation. That is that is for sure. Because I was equally shocked when I'm like, why the fuck is JD McDonagh taller than someone? Like,
you
what?
Pointed it out, and I went, wait, what? And I went back and watched. I was like, oh my God, okay.
But, yeah.
Okay, so you mentioned, like, that's whatever. But
yeah,
that's... You mentioned Champ... Oh, the whole Mandy Rose, Alba Fire shit. Can we please end that? Please? Just enough?
It's... Alba Fire should have won the championship. That, like, it's honestly like they're like, nah, we wanted to give Mandy Rose the full year, so she needed to win that match so we can run this past a full year as a champion, and then we'll go from there. It's just like, it still doesn't seem like they have that much faith in Mandy Rose, to be completely frank with you. You know, like, she has, I mean, obviously I know that there was the recent, her brother's death thing that kept her off TV. Her year run has been okay. Like, there hasn't been anything offensive. I've liked the gimmick. I still haven't seen anything too crazy in the ring. Like, it's, and like, I know that she's not doing Nikki Bella Strong style, even. And I know that that's more of her gimmick, and it still doesn't fit her look. I guess I don't even think her matches are as laid out as well as Nikki Bella's were in her later years.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like Mandy Rose is a featured player, but doesn't seem like there's been progress.
Right. Yeah.
They're fine. Like, character work, I think she's better.
Yes.
Which really is all that matters, you know? But it's still, like, Alba Fire should have won, like you said.
Oh.
But yeah. Does she do anything for you? No.
Yeah, she hasn't done anything for me. Like, you told me that she was a great champion for UK, and I haven't seen a whole lot of anything from her yet. Like, maybe it's just because there's been goofy like, coming over didn't help her out at all. And even the switch to the whole Druidess thing has been okay. I guess I've caught on to some of it, and maybe it's just because I kind of like that Celtic angle kind of situation going on that she has. But it still hasn't really, like, resonated with me well. Like, even the way that, you know, like, it does with Sheamus. Like, even the Brawling Brutes thing, it's a little bit corny at times, but I would definitely take that kind of over what Alba Fire is still doing at this point.
So would all the fans, apparently, too. Somehow the Brawling Brutes and Sheamus are faces now. Oh. Without changing anything, which is, I love. Do you know how much I hate when a bad guy gets cheered and they become a baby face and change everything that made him cool? The Brutes just get cheered now.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, all of a sudden people realize Sheamus is pretty good in the ring and he's a badass. Yeah, he's been like that for a while. You just didn't like him because it was Sheamus, and he was Triple H's boy. So, and also, another missed extra point, by the way. So,
yes.
Jesus Christ. But, you mentioned champions. What did you think of Von Wagner in that sit-down?
Couple of things here. Why do they keep on pairing Robert Stone with people that can at least get their point across?
Yes, I know. I thought the same thing. Like, he's not needed.
I like him as a mouthpiece. I think he's a good annoying douche character. He has not been used to his full potential within the WWE. Like, again, like, obviously there's kind of a limit to what's going to happen with Robert Stone, but so there's that. It does help that that Von Wagner has just kind of been kicking people's asses. You know, he's had a handful of squash matches, and some of them with even slightly prominent within NXT terms names. So I feel like they're building him up in the right direction. The problem that I suppose I have is one that comes up frequently on this show. He's now going against the champion. I don't really see him being the one that dethrones Braun Breaker.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I don't see that either. And the whole Robert Stone thing always cracks me up too. Like, really? Like, he's paired with somebody else who can do their own stuff.
Ugh,
Okay.
yeah, because what was Chelsea Green his first client?
Yeah, and then who's it? Aaliyah was another one?
I do think that she can speak for herself. I would understand giving her a mouthpiece more than the other people that he, I think, has been paired with.
And then, what, didn't he have someone goofy that he was paired with too?
Yeah, because Aaliyah was still there when they did that, and it's escaping me currently
Yeah, it was something strange.
who that other
But
person was. Oh, was it Mercedes Martinez?
yes, that was it. Another woman who doesn't need someone to speak for her. Although I guess
Well.
right now it wouldn't hurt since she's hurt, but you know, whatever. But which, what a genius plan that was. Take it off of Deonna Purrazzo so the Ring of Honor women's title just goes nowhere. But whatever. Anyways. So yeah, I also wonder if they paired Robert Stone with him thinking, all right, Vaughn's not good on the mic right now. He's still learning. And, you know, we'll have him be there and help him along the way. And then all of a sudden, Von Wagner got really comfortable talking. And it's like, shit. Well, this didn't work out the way we expected. Hey, listen, Von Wagner's not exactly burning it up. I'm not going to say that.
Oh, right.
But the stuff with him and Solo started it. And he's kind of improved ever since, both in the ring and on the mic. Who Solo Sikoa is someone I'm really high on, by the way. And
Oh, yeah,
quick
he's
aside,
awesome.
he's doing the Roman Reigns from the Shield. I don't know if anyone's picked up on this. He doesn't say anything.
Oh.
When he does, it's short, to the point, matter of fact, we're done. Which is what Roman used to be in the Shield, which is what made everyone love Roman Reigns before Vince decided, okay, you're my project. But I've just been really impressed with Solo lately. So,
Yes,
but anyway.
he is awesome.
But yeah, but like that's where Vaughn started, like
Oh.
that whole thing, he started
Yeah.
blossoming then. He lost, but then disappeared and it comes back. So, but you're right. I can't see him being the one to take it off of Bron Breakker.
Oh, yeah,
So then what?
yeah, he's improved. I do think that Von Wagner's improved. But yeah, he's kind of getting put in a weird position. I don't know who else he goes against in NXT right now, though, either. Like that's at least part of the problem. There is no kind of, because I guess as much as they've added to the main roster, with a lot of their additions, the WWE could use something similar with NXT to at least add a couple of people here and there to help give them a little bit of a middle ground with that show. And I do think that, you know, that would help give him someone to face. Like, not every, like, you can't have Apollo Crews fight everyone.
Yeah, true, true.
You know, like, because Cruz is one of the guys that came down and I think can function that way. You know, if they had left Dolph Ziggler down there, in some ways it might have gotten a little bit old if he kept on dropping, you know, big matches to people. You know, but I am kind of thinking, I guess, people in that range that at least have some level of respect and could benefit some of the younger guys, A, wrestling them, and B, you know, putting them over eventually. You know,
yeah.
Maybe well, don't
by the way,
do
where
the.
Where the hell is Dolph Ziggler?
I don't know. He had
just the, like the Street Profits. Like, where the hell are they?
He popped up and then left all of a sudden. After
he had the thing with Austin Theory. Austin Theory beat him. Gone. I was like, that's just odd. But getting paid, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. There is one downer note we should talk about, and that is poor R-Truth tearing a quad, and he's going to be out for like a year, basically. That sucks.
I guess I did not see the final diagnosis.
Yep. At least 9 months he's going to be out. And, you know, regardless of his looks, he's not young.
Yeah. He is almost as old as Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah. Except far more entertaining.
Yeah.
More money, too.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. But, and he gets people to chant along to his what's up no matter where the fuck he goes.
I mean, he still had like a master class in controlling the crowd. Remember that whole wedding thing? We talked about it. Those people wanted to shit on that wedding. And he's like, come on, y'all. Just be with me for a second, all right? Let me do my thing. And the crowd was like, okay, Truth. That's like the weird silent respect that he commands of an audience.
Yes.
The audience genuinely loves this guy. For whatever reason. If you don't like it, that's your problem. The rest of the people do. And so it just I hope it's not the end of his career. Because I mean it probably won't be, but he's not young.
It, right.
He's just not. So,
yeah, that
was a simple move.
That was one where I'm like, why is R-Truth going for a dive? It didn't feel like that was a regular part of his arsenal. Clearly, he's pretty athletic, but it's just like, why was this necessary? Like,
yeah. I'm trying to. Like, it's been so long since I've seen him in an actual match. I don't know if that was something he regularly did. I really don't.
I'm going to say that it was not, and someone in the comments section can prove me wrong.
Yeah. But that sucks. It just sucks. Yeah. It sucks when any wrestler or anybody gets hurt, but especially someone like as beloved as him. And I think even with Triple H in charge, he's making sure R-Truth is taken care of. I can see him being like the Gorilla Monsoon, or who was like one of the guys Vince had to protect or whatever. I can just see that's R-Truth. And as long as he's himself and he's goofy, which by this time in his career, there's no turning around and being a serious wrestler anymore.
Oh, no. He's been probably in too deep for like almost a decade, honestly.
Yeah.
You know, like I love him to death, but yeah, he's probably been in too deep on the goofy gimmick for about a decade at this point to, you know, really make a serious, do a Christian one last run situation.
Yeah. And didn't he, I'm trying to think. Ah, it's lost my train of thought. God damn it. How the hell do you have holding on third and one with a dive? Jesus Christ, the Panthers are awful. I know they're winning, but who cares? Anyways. it sucks R-Truth is down.
Yeah. But
it'll just be funny to see him when he's like 20 years from now. He's still there, still doing the same thing. It won't get old because it'd be a new generation of laughing along with this guy. And I think it'd be great. It'd be cool to have our own Bobby Heenan, Lord Alfred Hayes. I remember when he used to wrestle. That sort of thing.
You
know?
Yeah, that would be kind of fun. Like, I guess It would be interesting to see him as just an announcer. Like, that's the only way he pulls out of, you know, that. Well, that's the only way he pulls out of the goofy gimmick, I guess, in some ways. Like, he can't be that wacky on commentary.
But I'd rather him be a special guest interviewer. Have him go to NXT in 20 years.
Oh, my God.
Interview Kurt Angle's daughter. And go, I heard you won an Olympic gold medal in 1996. You know?
That would be a great position.
Here's some, like, 7-year-old dude. You're like, wait a minute, is he cracking up or is that our truth?
Because who? You know? Yeah. I'm trying to think of, like, an on-the-street reporter from one of the late-night shows.
Yes! That'd be even better.
Cause, like a Larry Bud Melman type, I guess. His, what is coming to mind, like, that I finally had a name come to mind.
Yes. Like, but also, what a perfect name. Larry Bud Melman. Ugh. What a terrible name. In the best ways. But, no, so that, like, that sucks, but.
Yes.
And I don't know. And then, I'm still waiting. I'm gonna guess Carmelo's gonna lose to Wesley so he can go up to the main roster where he can shine.
He's in the Carmelo Hayes is in that. He doesn't really need, like, if they give him a chance, he's one of those guys that I guess I could see him beating Bron Breakker if they want to go that route.
Yeah, which seems like the natural thing. So I elevated the North American title. Now I'm going to elevate the NXT title.
Yeah, so I could see him bumping off Braun going to the main roster, and then whenever Carmelo Hayes loses the championship, him going up to the main roster.
Yeah. No, Carmelo and Trick are a great group, a great unit, whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
And that's not something that should be broken up. I just like Trick as the hype man. He brings a certain aloofness, but being earnest at the same time. So it's like,
he tries to be a yes man, but thinks for himself a little too much sometimes, in a good kind of way.
Yeah.
I do. Trick is really good in his position. I know that at some point, I'm sure that he'd like to do something else. But hey, that's a good way to get introduced onto the main roster and then evolve into something else.
And here's the other thing. It's a business, man. You don't have to wrestle to make money. Look at Bobby Heenan. Look at the people who translate. Okay, we just got done talking about one of them. R-Truth. Wrestling 1-minute goofy 24/7 title matches and making money off of it. And I'm sure like everyone's got, like, it's the old adage, if you don't want to be champion, you shouldn't be in the company. I don't know if that's true anymore, but I think that's a positive way of looking at it, but I just don't think that's true anymore. There's plenty of opportunities to make money because it is a business.
Yeah, I think that is maybe the biggest difference between territories and now, honestly. The pay scale for the guys on the bottom in the WWE is a lot higher than it was for those guys in the territories who were, you know, like trying to get milk money from their payday or whatever the fuck they were paying for at that point. You know, like, they needed that one brick of ramen noodles to eat over the course of like 4 days or something. Sob story / why did you get into that business to start with? Because I'm just going to say I never got paid in fucking ramen noodles. So, or even a couch to sleep on at a friend's house.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Wrestling's a weird business, dude. It always has been. We're just, like, old enough, or I almost said wise enough now to understand it.
I was wise enough to make enough money to sleep in a fucking bed my whole adult life.
Well, you know, I guess the argument there would be, well, I had to make sacrifices. Like, yeah. I don't know.
Hard pass, guys. Know. Hard yeah. pass.
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you, though.
I'm on the other side. Hard pass, guys. Like, this worked out.
I'm trying to think. Oh, real quick before we go, I'm really happy to see Mia Yim back. She got such a bad... I can't even think of the word. Bad started it, but even bad wasn't enough. The way she got used on the main roster was just abhorrent. And I'm really, really excited to see what she can do on a major platform, because I will never forget those ladder matches she had and how tough she is, like legitimately tough, not to die from those. So, God, I can't wait to see what she can do.
Yeah, and they've already reintroduced her better. She's already the head bat. She actually looks like a badass. Because I'm not even sure that they did that completely properly with her in NXT in her first run.
She was really good in there. She didn't win a title or anything, but you don't need to. But she was always positioned as a pretty much a badass, though.
I guess to me, her problem at that stage was that I guess they did do a good job of making her look like a badass, but she lost too many of those matches.
True. Well, but all right. Let's never really talk about, like, you know how you can gain from losing. That's what they always say in wrestling, right?
And you can.
Yeah.
But when you lose like four high-profile matches,
yeah,
it's at least three too many, at least two too many, I should say.
Yeah, so like for me, it's always like, well, okay, that's I'll go with that. But when is it time to start winning? Like, when can I win? When can I look better in winning instead of looking good and losing? So I hope that's what happens. I think the crowd didn't react because I don't think they were expecting it to be her. And they're like, oh, we don't know you because why would we? Because you were, what was her name as part of Retribution? Yeah. So
I was going to say Mace, but then I realized that was Mace.
Yeah, no, no. Now he's was Maze.
Yeah, Maze. Yeah.
Which I guess I'm not totally down on them, but whatever. So.
They're in that they fill a role situation currently.
Right. But it's like, all right, well, the crowd didn't know, but they will get to know her because I have faith in the guy that runs it, and he brought her back for a reason. So,
I guess that's another one that's still just a little bit of a, I was not a fan of how, Judgment Day reacted to the situation. It seemed like they were starting to get some momentum behind them. Everyone was completely flustered by the situation, including Rhea Ripley, who then had a segment albeit a brief one with Bianca Belair. And it's just like, hey, I like that foreshadowing, but why were you just acting like a chicken shit? Like, I'm not going to buy you against Bianca if you're looking like a chicken shit. Because you're taking on Mia Yim.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's wrestling? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's time, I guess, to see what happens. I don't, you know, because I guess I don't know what's going to happen, really. And obviously, at least Mia Yim's in for something of a real her and Rhea are in for a schmoz of a feud. I don't think that they are worthy of getting into the war game situation.
No, but the idea of some, I don't remember ever seeing Mia Yim versus Rhea Ripley.
Yeah, I think she was pre Rhea Ripley, interestingly enough.
Maybe at the end of it, but yeah, I mean, oof, I'm game.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I'm excited.
Two badass women beating the hell out of each other. Yeah, yeah, I'll watch that all the time.
So, sign me up.
Yeah, I like Hoss fights, and that's what that'd be. So,
yeah, but that should be a good match.
Yeah, I guess we should get out of here. I just wanted to make sure.
Sure. Bell time beer on my end. Since I will be heading back to Pennsylvania in a few short weeks here, I decided to have Allegheny City First Street. It's their Imperial Stout, 10.1% alcohol. It is a very delicious, yet also a very straightforward Imperial Stout. There isn't any extra, you know, flavoring agents in there. No vanilla, no extra chocolate, no nothing, no chilies. Just a straight up Imperial Stout. And I am here to say I can appreciate just a straight up Imperial Stout. Anything to talk about on your end, Mr. at Granny Maze?
Well, before the show, we were at Lower Left. You've been there. And we had, it was called Long-Term Parking. It was a triple IPA that was 11.4%. Oof. Smooth and delicious.
Yeah, that sounds like trouble.
Oh, dude, I only had one. It was only 10-ounce pour because I knew better. And then they had two peach milkshake IPAs. Ooh. Oof. Damn. Lower Left is one of the most unheralded breweries in Charlotte. Even though they won best new brewery in all of North Carolina last year and some other award. But around town, they have a crowd, but not as significant as far inferior breweries. And yes, we all know those exist. before the show, I was doing a High Top Heroes, a beer brewed during Black History Month. My buddy Marcus over at Sugar Creek Brewing, which you've been there as well.
Yep.
And yeah. So Merry Christmas. One of these is coming your way. But it's awesome. And yeah. So that's what I was drinking.
Okie dokie. This has been Stunt Granny Audio 801. So this is at DeFrango 11. As I just said, that was at Granny Maze. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later, gang.